Shir is Masechta Temura Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis on the Beis, two lines on the bottom, Tishlam Medra Levua. At the end of our previous year, we had learned a question that Rami Bachama had asked, and as Gemara had explained. Rami Bachama asked if an Akum has the ability to make a Temura. And as the Gemara had indicated, the question is not regarding a carbon that the Akum is bringing for himself, for as the Gemara quoted a Braisa, where Rav Shimon teaches us explicitly that in such a carbon there is no Temura. Rather, the Gemara said, the question was where an Akum designated an animal on behalf of the Yisrael to be the Yisrael's carbon, and as we explain, based on the opinion of most Rishonim, the Gemara's question is that the Yisrael now has this carbon, that the Akum designated on his behalf, can the Yisrael make a Temura on such an animal? That's the way the most Rishonim learned. We did quote the opinion of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that the Gemara's question was if the Akum, since this is not an animal that's being brought as a carbon on behalf of the Akum, rather it's a carbon that's being brought on behalf of Yisrael, the Gemara's question was, could the Akum make a Temura? Asked, says the Gemara, Tishlam of the Ravua. We can answer this question based on what Ravua taught us. The Amr Ravua, Amr Rav Yochanan. Hamagdish Mois of Chaimish. And Rashi gives two pshatim in these words, Hamagdish Mois of Chaimish, and the Gra gives a third pshat. First pshat, Rashi says, is that the halacha we know is that if somebody is Magdish an animal, and then that animal becomes a Balmum, the halacha is that we are paid to the animal, the person redeems the animal, and the Gemara is teaching us that halacha is when somebody is Magdish an animal. However, if somebody makes an animal into a Temura, that means, going back to what we discussed extensively in our previous year, if somebody designated a second animal as a Temura for the first animal, and as we've been learning, that halacha is v'hayahu usmeraso yekodesh, that what he does is valid, but we learned that even though what he does is valid, the halacha certainly will be if that second animal becomes a balmum, that you can't bring it as a carbon. And if you appointed that second animal, the halacha will be that you don't have to add a chaydish. That's one pshat Rashi suggests. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is that if someone is magdish their home, or he's magdish anything, there is a nafkamina in halacha if the person who was magdish it is poided versus if someone else is poided, that only if the person who was magdish it is poided is there a halacha that he has to add a fifth. But if somebody else is poided, they do not have to add a fifth. Those are the two pshatim that Rashi suggests. The Gra says pshat is as follows. As we just discussed, it's possible that I should designate a carbon on behalf of someone else. And the question is, if I designate the animal on behalf of someone else, and we just learned that the owner of a carbon, when he's pointed it, has to add the fifth. Who is considered the owner? Is it the person who was magdish the animal, or is it the person who is having the kapara? And the Bryce is teaching us that it is the magdish. It's the person who was magdish the carbon is considered the owner, that he would have the obligation to add the fifth. Umiskaper oif temura. Again, the situation that we just discussed, where one person designated a carbon on behalf of another person. Again, he was speaking about where one person is designating carbon on behalf of someone else. Who has the ability to make the temura? And the Rav Avuah teaches us that the miskaper makes the temura. That Torim
Mishloi Ashal Chaveroi, Tairus Anar Shaloi. We know that the halacha is that I could take truma, I could give truma on behalf of someone else. So if I'm giving truma on behalf of someone else, and we know that the Torah says that whoever is giving the truma has the right to choose who should be the kohen that should receive the truma. And throughout Shas there's a concept of Tovus Hanor, that the right to choose which kohen should get the truma actually has a monetary value, because someone could approach me, the Yisrael, and say to me, why don't you give your truma to my grandson or whomever, my relative who is a kohen, and as long as the person approaching me is not a kohen himself, because if he's a kohen himself, as we learned in Masechta Erechin, there's a concern of kohen hamasayeya, the base hagronis. So as long as he's not a kohen himself, and as we learned, even if he's not asking for himself, he's asking, if a kohen is asking for another kohen, it still would be asur. That's still in the category of kohen hamasayeya, the base hagronis. The only time it's not considered kohen hamasayeya, the only time it's mutter, is when a Yisrael is asking on behalf of a, when a Yisrael is asking on behalf of his relative, a kohen, and the Yisrael can even pay for that by saying, the Yisrael can even pay for that privilege that I should give the truma to the kohen that he's asking me to give for. That is called Tovus Hanor. And the halacha is that if I am designating truma on behalf of someone else, then the person who's actually giving the truma is the one that gets the Tovus Hanor. But this braisa clearly indicated that the miskaper, the one who's having, who's getting the kapara, is the one that gets the tamura. So if the miskaper is the one that makes the tamura, so why when he is, so isn't that an answer to Rami Bachama's question? The Rami Bachama asked, if a goy is designated an animal on behalf of Yisrael, shouldn't this be a raya that the Yisrael could still make a tamura? Amalei, hasam, it's not a raya. Why? The hasam, the ka'asim k'ayach Yisrael. In that situation, where Rabbi Vuhl spoke about one Yisrael designating a carbon for another Yisrael, that's why, so we started with a Yisrael, and now we have Yisrael, the designator and the miskaper are both Yisraelim. B'shem hachi, azlin and b'shem miskaper, that's why the halacha is that the miskaper can make a tamura. Davle, t'chilasoi, v'seifim b'yad Yisrael. It was always in the hands of Yisrael. Ava hacha, in the situation that Rami Bachama is talking about. Hacha kamei b'alei. The question is, me being in b'tchil about soif to take a b'shus, the man of a tamura, is the halacha that in order for tamura to be effective, it had to be in the hands of somebody who can make tamura from beginning to end? And here it wasn't that way, because it started in the hands of an Akum. Or is it the fact that it ends in the hands of Yisrael enough, and the Gemara remains actually with a teiku on this question? So the Gemara in our previous year quoted a lengthy braisa that discusses the status of a carbon of an Akum. An Amamar, Kacha Ad Kachavim, a carbon designated by an Akum, Leinenim V'Lein Ma'alim. Leinenim Midrabanan, there's an Issa Hanor Midrabanan, V'Lein Ma'alim, but there is no Issa Mi'ilim Midaraisa. So the Mepharshim ask, why is the Gemara, the fact that there's no Issa Mi'ilim, we're going to soon learn, is based on a Pasuk in the Torah. But the Gemara's question is, but the Mepharshim asks, why is the Gemara so certain that there is no Issa Mi'ila, there is no Issa Hanor Midaraisa, there's only Issa Hanor Midarabanan, maybe there's an Issa Hanor even Midaraisa. So Tosfos says that since, as we learned in the Braisa, and we'll learn in a few moments again, there is no Issa Pigo, Noiser, and Tamei by a carbon of an Akum. So if there is no Issa Pigel Noisim V'Tamei, there is also no Issa Hanor Midaraisa. That's how Tosfos explains. The Swasemis says that from the same place that we learn that there is no Isser Mi'ila, as we're going to learn in a moment, that's the same place from where we can learn that there is no Isser Hanoah Midaraisa. Dor Sameach has a different approach. Dor Sameach's approach is that, as we said in our previous year, since when an Akum obligates himself to bring a carbon, it isn't the same level of obligation, because there is no din of lo yachel when an Akum obligates himself in a carbon. So since there's no din of lo yachel, similarly, there won't be an Issa Hano Midaraisa. However, the Meches Chinuch does point out that, as we've learned many times, there's an Isser Giza Vavoida. An animal designated for carbon may not be used for work. That halacha applies, says the Meches Chinuch, even to a carbon designated by an Akum. Furthermore, the Achronim say that we know the halacha is that one may not eat from a carbon until the carbon is actually had Zrikas Adam. Here too, say the Achronim, that the Isser to eat from a carbon will apply even to till the Zrikas Adam will apply even by the carbon of an Akum as well. So ask the Gemara, why is there no Isser Mi'ila? My Tama. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says regarding the din of Mi'ila, Nefesh Kisima Mal V'chata B'shkaga. So the Torah uses the word Chet in connection to Mi'ila. V'alpinen Chet Chet Mitruma. We learn now Gzeir Shavu with the word Chet from Truma. U'betruma, and when we speak about Truma, Ksiv B'nei Yisrael, V'leiv the Chachamim says B'nei Yisrael, not the Akum. Although I did see that the Brisk Rav asks a very strong question. He says, how can we learn a connection between Mi'ila and Truma? Truma is a mitzvah that Akum are completely excluded from. And since they're completely excluded from the din of, that makes sense. But Mi'ila, which is connected to the din of Kabbonis, which, as we learned in our previous year, and we'll discuss later again, Akum can bring carbon. So how can we connect Truma to Mi'ila? Truma is a rule that Akum are excluded from, not Kabbonis. Furthermore, we learned in the Braisa that a carbon of an Akum, Ben Chayon Alayim, Mishum Pigal, Noiser V'Tomei. The Ksiba V'Tumma, because the Torah, when it speaks about Tumma, says, Daval Aram Avonov, V'Yinoz M'Kotch B'nai Yisrael, V'lo Yichalu, V'Yalef, Noiser, and then we learn Exer Shav, Noiser from Tumma, Chil Chul M'Tumma, because the Torah by Tumma uses the words, B'nai Yisrael, V'lo Yichalu. The Ksiv Gav Noiser, and so only Tumma only applies by Bnei Yisrael, not by Akum. The Ksiv Gav Noiser, by Noiser the Pasuk uses the words Va'Ochel Avonav Yisok Kis Kodesh Hashem Chilel. So we make a Zereshava between Noiser and Tumma, and then the Yal Pigel Oven Oven Menoiser, and then we learn Pigel from Noiser with Zereshava Oven V'Oven. The Ksiv Gav Pigel by Pigel the Torah uses the words Va'al Nefesh Achelus Mimenu Avona Tisa. The Ksiv Gav Noiser, by Noiser the Torah uses the words V'Ochel Avona V'Yisa Kes Kodesh Hashem Chilel V'Kula. So by all of them, therefore, the halach is B'nei Yisrael, the distant applies to B'nei Yisrael and not by Akum. So we learned that by the carbon of an Akum, the halach is Ein Oisa Tamura. That the carbon of an Akum isn't subject to Hilchos Tamura. How do we know that? Says the Gemara, the Ksib, because the Torah says, Lo Yechlifene V'lo Yomer. The Ksib, that's the parasha of Tamura. The Ksib Reishinyin, and at the beginning of the parasha, it says, Dab of Bnei Yisrael v'matalayim ish ki yafli ned de barakecha. So we learn Bnei Yisrael, that the din of Tamura applies by Bnei Yisrael, not by Yaakov. And although the Rishonim, the Shita asks, maybe we should learn that the Pasuk is teaching us that by Bnei Yisrael, there's a din of Tamura, and not by Bnei Yisrael, not by women. So he answers that since that Bnei Yisrael have a chuyiv in Bnei Yisrael, not Bnei Yisrael. So we learned in the previous year already that Bnei Yisrael have a chuyiv in Tamura. Lishna Achrina, Veinosh and Tamura. that the Akum carbon is not subject to Hilchos Tumura, my Tama, Diskish Tumura, Behema Lamaisa Behema. The Torah compares the din of Tumura to the din of Maisa Behema, and then the Torah compares Maisa Behema to Maisa Dogim. The Gav Maisa Dogim Ksiv, when we speak about Maisa Dogim, the Pasuk says, Kies Masa B'nai Yisrael Shirimu Hashem, B'nai Yisrael, that the din of Maisa applies, of Trumas and Maisa applied by B'nai Yisrael of Loyav Tegachavim. And here too the Shita says, that we don't say that the Pasuk is coming to exclude women from the Chiyav of Truma Meiser, because the Shita explains, once we established, as we said a moment ago, that and our Shir and our previous Shir with the Gemara discussed it, that women, the Mishnah said it, that women are obligated in, that women are connected to Hilchos Tumura, so once women are connected to Hilchos Tumura, they're also going to be in the parasha of Truma Meiser. I saw from the Sefer Dvar Avram that our Gemara gave two different sources for the halacha that the din of Tumura is by Bnei Yisrael, not by Akum. One was because the pasuk in the parasha of Tumura says Bnei Yisrael, and the other was because we compare the halacha of Tumura, the Gemara said, to the halacha of Meiser. Says the Dvar of Rome, what is the nafkamina between these two approaches? He says the nafkamina between these two approaches is that the first approach views the exclusion of Akum as a chayva, as a gavra, to rule in the individual. Bnei Yisrael, only Bnei Yisrael have a parasha of Tumura, not Akum. So it's a din in the gavra. The other limud that compares it to Meiser looks at it as a cheftza, that the cheftza of a carbon akum is excluded from the parasha of Tumura. What would be the nafkamina between these two approaches? So he says a very, very nice nafkamina. He says, what would be the halacha if an akum designated a carbon and then was megayim? So could he make a tamura on that carbon? So he suggests, if it's a rule in the gavra, so this individual is no longer an akum, and he therefore can make a tamura. If, however, we say it's a rule in the cheftza, so this carbon, when it was designated, was the carbon of an akum, and since when it was designated, it was the carbon of an akum, which is excluded from the from Hilchos Tumura, that exclusion will remain even after the Akum was Megayah. We learned in the Brice as well, Vei Mavi Nesachim, that the carbon of an Akum doesn't have Nesachim. He doesn't bring Nesachim. Ava Kabonatan Nesachim. It requires Nesachim. Divrei Rav Shimon. That's the opinion of Shimon, and as we explained in our previous year, the Rishonim debate, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that the Akum may not bring Nesachim. That means the carbon of an Akum has Nesachim, but we have to provide the Nesachim. Or is Pshat that the Akum could bring Nesachim? And if he brings Nesachim, of course, we'll bring those Nesachim together with the carbon. But the halacha is that if he doesn't bring Nesachim, we provide Nesachim. Everybody, as we also said, agrees, however, that a carbon nesachim, a carbon which is just nesachim, a akum doesn't bring. Menonimili, the Tanna Rabban Ezrach, to teach us, Ezrach may be nesachim, Ve'en Ev Kechavim may be nesachim, a akum doesn't bring nesachim, the two pshatim that we just gave. Yoch Leitei, losa tu nesachim, we would think that the carbon doesn't bechlal have a chiv nesachim. Tamaloyma, the Torah says, Kocha, to teach us that all kabonas have a chiyuv of Nesachim. Well, this was all the opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Yossi, however, said, Om Rav Yossi, Roy ani b'kulam l'hakmer, Am machmer, my tama, l'ashem k'sebei. Because the Torah says the word l'ashem to teach us that the carbon of an akum is treated like the carbon of Yisrael. The Braisa continued, B'med v'amamurim, when was this said that there is no mi'ilah by the carbon of an akum, the kachim is there. For as we've said, there are two types of kachim. There's kachim mizbeach and kachim by the kabayis. Kachim mizbeach is an animal that we designate to bring as a carbon on the mizbeach. Kachim by the kabayis is a donation to the by the kabayis. So the Braisa said that the exclusion of me'ilah by the carbon of an akum is strictly by kachim mizbeach. Ava kachim by the kabayis, when we speak about kachim by the kabayis, mayam behem there is me'ilah. Ask the Gemara, my tama, why do we distinguish between kachim mizbeach and kachim by the kabayis? Says the Gemara, the kigar meaning me'ilah chet chet mitruma, because as we learned earlier, the reason that there is no din of me'ilah by carbon akum is because we learned gzeir shava from truma, and truma is kadosh kedusha saguf. So only something like kachim which has kedusha saguf, like kachim mizbeach, are excluded from me'ilah. Ava the kedushas by the kabayis. When we speak about kedushas by the kabayis, which is a kedushas tamim, loy. So the way Tosfos explains is that on one hand, the pasuk says lahashem, which indicates that the carbon of akum is treated like the carbon of Yisrael. On the other hand, we have the gzeirus shava connecting the carbon of the akum to truma, and therefore we come to the conclusion that the carbon, that the kedushas mizbeach of an akum is excluded from me'ilah, not the kedushas by the kabayis. But the Brisker Rav has a different way of understanding the difference. He says, let's think about it. He says, when somebody designates a carbon, the akum, anyone, designates the carbon, so even after the carbon is already designated as hegdish, it's still connected to the original owner. It's considered his carbon. And since it's still connected to the original owner, the halacha is that if it's an akum, and as we're learning in today's shir, an akum is excluded from hilchos me'ilah, therefore that carbon would not be subject to hilchos me'ilah. Whereas, when somebody donates something to the Beit HaKabayis, once he gives that donation, it's no longer connected to the original donor, and it's now hegdish. It's not connected in any way to the original donor, and therefore the halacha me'ilah will be applicable. Actually, the svara of the Brisker Rav and the svara of Tosfos are here to answer a very fundamental question. The fundamental question is that we know throughout halacha that kedushas mizbeach is always considered a higher level kedusha than kedushas by the kabayis. Yet in our Gemara we're finding just the opposite, that kedushas mizbeach is of an akum is not subject to me'ilah, and kedushas by the kabayis of an akum is subject to me'ilah. How do we understand this? So Tosfos is going to say, because that's exactly what the psukim are teaching us, and the Brisker Rav is svara answers that question. And actually, this question, these explanations may be relevant to answer another question. The Sfas asks, what would be the halacha if an akum designated money that with that money an animal should be bought for a carbon? Will that money be treated like kedushas mizbeach, or will that money be treated like kedushas by the kabayis? So if we follow the explanation of Tosfos, anything that's kedushas mizbeach, it doesn't make a difference if the akum designated the animal or gave the money to buy the animal. The carbon is considered the carbon of the akum, and if it's considered the carbon of the akum, it's excluded from hilchos me'ilah. Whereas, according to the explanation of the Brisker Rav, maybe since the animal wasn't the animal of the akum, it's not considered connected to him. It was the money without the animal, and maybe under those circumstances, it would be subject to me'ilah. We begin now the sugya of Lav Shem Emaisa. We know, the Gemara mentions it in many places, that a Lav Shem Emaisa, there is no Chiv Malkus. A Machloikus Rishayim as to why not. Rashi Masechta Sanhedrin explains, because the Pasuk says, Im Lo Sishmar Lasois, as called Dibre Torah Zois, the Torah speaks about Lasois, and then the Pasuk says, V'hif La Hashem as Makoscha. So we see that Malkus are connected to Lasois. Other Rishayim explain that the Gemara says in many places that the model of a Lav for which there is Malkus is Lav Dechsima,
Alaisachsa in Shabbat Isha, we may not muzzle an animal. And since that's a lav sheyesh b'maisa, there is only malchus given by lav sheyesh b'maisa. Very fundamental machloikis rishonim. The chinuch holds that any lav which could be violated without a maisa, one does not get malchus even if he was over it with a maisa. There are questions on the chinuch's opinion, because according to the chinuch, why would one get malchus for making chametz on Pesach, since chametz could be made without a maisa, just leave the dough alone? The answer that the Shaar HaMelech gives to that question is, because this dough that I'm making maybe wouldn't have been chametz other way. The Magen Mishnah says just the opposite of the chinuch. And he says that a lav that could be violated with a maisa, even if you did it without a maisa, but since this is a lav which where a maisa is possible, is already considered a lav sheyesh by maisa. So begins the Gemara Amar Yehuda Marav. Whenever we have a lav, osba maisa chayiv, lo osba maisa pot. And the Brisk Rav asked two questions on Rav's statement. Firstly, as we just said, and we'll see in Mitzvah Shem in today's shir, that this issue of lav sheyesh by maisa is a machlokes tanon, many different places in Shas, in Sechta Makis, and other places. So why is the Gemara quoting the opinion of Rav when we're referring to a machlokes tanon? The other question that he asks is, as we know, typically the terminology used when speaking about a lav sheyesh by maisa is lav sheyesh by maisa, lav she'en by maisa. Rav's wording is kol she'osu by maisa or loy osu by maisa. So he says that Rav is coming to say the opposite of the Magen Mishnah. And the Rav is coming to teach us that if you have a lav, and yes, this is a lav that can be violated with a maisa, but it's only considered a lav sheyesh by maisa that you'll get malchus for that lav if you actually did the maisa. But if you actually did not do the maisa, even though it's a lav that can be violated with a maisa, that won't make it into a lav sheyesh by maisa that you should get malchus. Ask the Gemara of a klolahu, is this a hard and fast rule? The lav sheyesh by maisa potter for a maimer when the lav of al mesechta tamura the lav sheyesh by maisa who. And the lucky, you get malchus, as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. The Tanan, loy shel rishoy lehemer, not that one may make a tamura, but that the halach is shem hema mumer. If somebody does do a tamura, soifik is haboy, he gets malchus. Amalach Rav. So Rav answers, Amalach Rav. Rav answers, Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, he, it reflects the Tana of Yehuda, Dama lav shem v'maisa. That you get malchus for lav sheyesh b'maisa. Ask the Gemara, Omi matzos mukmas masnisik Rav Yehuda. Can we say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Yehuda? But in our previous year, v'kimta l'reisha l'arik Rav Yehuda, we already established that the reisha of our Mishnah cannot be following the opinion of Yehuda. The Ketanim, because we learned, the Gemara said that the Mishnah began with the words hakol mamirim. And the question was, Hakol, Lasu Yamai, what is the word Hakol to come to teach us? And the Gemara answered, Lasu Yairish, that's come to teach us that a Yairish can make a Tamura, Udu like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, answers the Gemara. Haytana Savala Kalase Bechada, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the halacha, the lav sheyesh by maisa, like in a lof. But on the other hand, palaglav achada, the Rabbi Yehuda savor, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as we learned yesterday, was the yerush ein a soimach, yerush ein a meimer. In this rule, our Tana disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds yerush, v'hu Tana don savor yerush soimach, yerush meimer. And says the Gemara, Amar of Idi bar Ovin, Omer of Amram, Omer of Yitzchak, Omer of Yoichan, Mishim, Rabbi Yoisa Aglili, Kol Lossus Shvatayra, whenever we speak about a lav,
Asa b'maisa loika, lo asa b'maisa potter, chutz. There are certain exceptions that the Gemara will analyze each one individually. Nishba, if somebody swears falsely, meim etmura, b'kal chaver b'shem. Then in all of these situations, abish lo asa maisa, even if a maisa hasn't been done, chayiv. Meshur Rav Yosef and Chanina amru, afa magen truma b'kurim.
As we're going to learn, the Torah is very specific in the order how the matnas kuna should be separated. First Bikurim, then Truma, then Mais Rishon, Mais Sheni. And this brisa, at least at this point, seems to be teaching us that if you went in the wrong order, Yechayiv Malkus. And of course, if one actively separated him in the wrong order, he would be Chayiv Malkus. Here the Chiddush is that even if you did it with a mental designation, that and there was no Maisa, you're still Chayiv Malkus. Tosfos asks that the Torah also teaches us that Maitzi Shemra and Egem Zayimim, even though they lav she'ein by Maisa, have a Chayiv Malkus. So why doesn't our Gemara mention those cases? So one Torah, of course, is that our Gemara is not mentioning all of the cases possible. That's one Torah. Another Torah is that our Gemara is only mentioning the cases that are not explicit in the Torah. Egem Zayimim and Maitzi Shemra are explicit in the Torah that there's a Chiyuv Malkus, and those cases, therefore, are not mentioned in our Gemara. The Brisker Rav gives a different Torah. The Brisker Rav says that the Chiyuv Malkus by Maitzi Shemra, the Chiyuv Malkus by Egem Zayimim, is not for the violation of the lav, which, as we're learning, is a lav she'ein b'maisa. Rather, the malchus is given because the din is that somebody who's a maitzei shemra, the din is that someone who's a eid zaymim is mechuyev malchus. And the way I always understood what the Brisker Rav means to say is that the malchus by maitzei shemra and the malchus by a eid zaymim is not for the aveira. It's for the Chilul Hashem. This person created a certain Chilul Hashem which the Torah says he should get Malkus for. So the first case that the Gemara mentioned of a lav she'ein b'maisa for which there's Malkus is Nishba, swearing falsely. Ask them on Nishba Manola. Om Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rameya, Om Akra, Kilo Yenak Hashem es Asher Yisa Shmoy L'Shav. Bezin Shamala, says the Gemara, Eim Enak Noisoy, doesn't clean a person who did such an avera. Abezdin shamata, malkinosai, our bezdin gives a malkus, or menakinosai, that's how he's cleansed from the avera of shuashav. Ask the Gemara, omalei repapal abaya, ve'ema, perhaps what the Torah is teaching us is like the havelai nekias klal, that somebody who violated such an avera is not cleansed at all, and there is no malkus. Omalei, so Abaya says that can't be pshan in the pasuk. Because imkein licht of kra lo yinaka v'lishtoik, then all the Torah should have just said was lo yinaka. Why did the pasuk say lo yinaka Hashem lamali? To teach us bezna shamala hu dey menak nosoy. It's only the bezna shamala who doesn't purify such an aveira. A bezna shamata malkin a menak nosoy, that he gets malchus and he'll be fine. Although the Rambam seems to indicate that if somebody is over and is mighty shame shemayim v'atolo, he gets malchus, but that's and that cleanses him, but that's only for the aveira of shuah shav, but not for the aveira, says the Rambam, of the chilul Hashem. That aveira doesn't get purified even with the malchus. So there's a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim already, that our Gemara is teaching us that mentioning Hashem's name in vain is a serious aveira, a serious issur malchus. And the question is, under what circumstances is one over this aveira? And it seems that, as the Nishmas of Adam explains the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam says that anyone who ever is moitzi shev shemayim levatolo, says the name of Hashem in vain, is over an issa deraisa that carries with it
a chiyuv malchus. But the nishmas Adam himself asks a question. If that's the case, that mentioning the name of Hashem is such a serious aveira, so one question he asks is, why did the Rabbi Chazal make the rule that we should say brachas? Every time we say a bracha, we say Hashem's name. Shouldn't we be concerned about mentioning Hashem's name? Furthermore, he asks, we know that halacha is as follows. If somebody has a suffix bracha, he has a suffix if he made a bracha, so the halacha is that he doesn't say the bracha over. But if somebody ate and he's full, and he has a doubt if he benched, he has to say over Birchas HaMazon. But ask the Nishmas Adon, if the Isser of saying Hashem's name is an Isser deraisa, as the Rambam says. So, yes, there's a Shaila of Birchas HaMazon. And even if we'll say that Birchas HaMazon is a deraisa, that still shouldn't allow us to say Birchas HaMazon over and have a question that perhaps we're being over the serious isser of mentioning Hashem's name, Lashav. So how come that there should be no difference, he says, that if there's a Shaila, when a child was born, and was he born on Shabbos, that we've learned that a Bris Milah is not made besophic on Shabbos. So the Nishmas Adam says a very big chiddush in the Rambam. He says that even if the Rambam's opinion is that there is no Isser, that there is a serious Isser deraisa in mentioning Hashem's name Lashav in vain, that's only when it's not said in the form of a bracha. But when it's said as part of a bracha, then you're never going to have an Isser deraisa. So if somebody is saying Birchas HaMazon, he's not just saying Hashem's name, he's saying it as part of the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, that is not considered, according to the Rambam, an Isser deraisa. And interestingly, this could be the explanation of a very fundamental halacha that we all know. The halacha we know is that if somebody has to show him set a brachah of atala, so the halacha is he should say Baruch Shem Kvod Machus Olam Voed. And the question is, what is Baruch Shem? What is saying Baruch Shem Kvod Machus Olam Voed after one has to show him set a brachah of atala accomplished? So the Torah says that saying Baruch Shem Kvod Machus Olam Voed is a kapara. That's how he has a kapara for the Aveira Brachah of Atola. The Rambam says, no, it's a corrective measure. Why? According to the Nishmas Adam's explanation, it's very gishmak. Because the Nishmas Adam just taught us that the Rambam agrees that when one says the Shem Hashem as part of a Baruch, as part of a way of praising Hashem, that's not considered that he did the Aveira. So if somebody chas v'shalom said a Brachah of Atola, and there's a question of mentioning Hashem's name in vain, how is it corrected? The way it's corrected is by saying, Baruch Shem, Kavod, Machus Olam Voed, showing that you mean it to be a Baruch, that you mean it to praise Hashem, then you don't have a problem. And there'll be a very big nafkamina la halacha between the Rambam and the Torah. If somebody said a Baruch Olam Atola, that we're saying now that the halacha is he should say Baruch Shem, Kavod, Machus Olam Voed, according to the Torah, that it's a kapara, so he doesn't necessarily have to say the Baruch Shem Kavai Machus Olam Voed immediately after he made the bracha. He could say it later, and then he'll have his kapara. But if we're saying that the pshat in the Rambam is that the Rambam is teaching us that it's a corrective measure, so you have to say Baruch Shem Kavai Machus Olam Voed immediately after the bracha of Atala. So says the Gemara Ashkechon, the Torah has taught us the Shua Shav. A Shua Shav is somebody who makes a shvur about something which is obviously not true. He says something that's stone is gold. Shvur sheker, which we'll see in a moment what shvur sheker is, menolon, that there's also a chi of malchus, says the Mar of Yochanan, the day Omar. The Torah says, l'shav l'shav shnei pamim. Imeina inya l'shvur shav. If it's not here to teach us the halach of shvur shav, t'nei inya l'shvur sheker d'loika. And here the Rishonim point out, from here we see that if we learn that something is usher, and we only learnt it through a form of a limud of Eina Inyan,
it's still enough that it should get Malkus. Ask the Gemara. Maskula Ravua. Shvua Sheker, that we now have established that there's a Chiv Malkus for. Heichidami. Exactly what is the situation that there'll be Chiv Malkus for the Shvua Sheker? He named the Amr Shaloi Oichel, that somebody made a Shvua that he will not eat for Ochel. So tomorrow, how's the mice of it? That's a real lav shesh for mice. He ate. El the Omar, it's referring to a situation that he made a shvur sh'oichel, v'loyochel, and then he ended up not eating. He made a shvur that he will eat, and then he didn't eat. Ask the Gemara, who me lucky? Will such an individual get malchus? Ritmar, shvur sh'oichel kikaze ha'yoyim. If somebody makes a shvur that he's going to eat this loaf today, v'ov ha'yoyim, v'loyochel, and then the day passed, and he didn't eat, so Yochanan and Shlokesh, Ami, both of them agree in a loika. Rav Yochanan made a loika to Lav Shev Maisahu. He just didn't eat when he was supposed to. To call Lav Shev Maisah, ain't loikin a loaf. Rav Shlokesh ain't a loika, we shouldn't have a lay asra sasek. We know that in order to get Malkus, one has to get asra. And here, he can't get asra. Because, what are we going to tell him? You have to eat. He's going to say, I'm going to eat later in the day. And therefore, we never could give him a hasra that's a full-fledged hasra. Kosra, and since it's not a full-fledged hasra, ain't like it a lot. Even though, as we shouldn't point out, maybe we could have given him a hasra at the last moment of the day. The deer, if he doesn't eat, he'll be over the laugh. That's very hard to figure out the exact last moment of the day, and therefore it remains a hasra suffix. El Amar Avua, what is the case of Shvur Sheker that there is Malkus for? Tehei b'chalti v'lo yachalti. It's referring to a situation where somebody made a shvur that I ate and he actually had not eaten, or he made a shvur that he didn't eat and he actually had eaten. Ask the Gemara, Umayishna, why are we suggesting that a chalti v'lo yachalti, a shvur about the past, is the shvur sheker for which there is Malkus? Ma'oichel v'lo yoichel versus the shvur into the future. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, the Pharisee strips of Torah sheker daim l'shav. The Torah compares sheker to shav, as we just said, because Rashi explained, because the Torah says the word shav twice. And ma shav, a shvur shav is l'shavar. It speaks about the past, saying that this is something which it isn't. It's certainly speaking about the past. So too, says the Ravua, when we speak about a Shvur Sheker, it's speaking about the L'sha'ofer. About a Shvur of L'sha'ofer. Eser, Rabbi Yehuda Ravua, if somebody makes a Shvur, Shloi Echel Kikuzur. First he made a Shvur that he won't eat this loaf. And then he made a Shvur Shloi Echelena, Shvur Shloi Echelena of Achla, so he made three Shvurs that he won't eat this loaf. Da'loch is the Ein Echayiv Al'achas. And the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos continues, Zui Shavuos Bitui, this is the situation of a Shavuos Bitui, that the Torah teaches us, Chayavim, if you violated it deliberately, Yechayiv Azadon HaMakas, V'Shigosoi, and if it was B'Shog, Yechayiv Karvan Oil of Yairid. Karvan Oil of Yairid means, it depends on your financial situation. If you're wealthy, you bring a Kispa or Seira as a carbon chatas. If you can't afford that, you bring shtei tayrim or shnei b'nei yoyna. And if you can't afford that, you bring a carbon mincha. The Mefarshim also point out that it's only if you set it in this order. First you said shvur shlo yekikel zeh, and then you said shvur shlo yechlena, is a situation of ein shvur chal shvur. But let's say you set it in the other order. First he said Shvur Shloi Echlena. So Shvur Shloi Echlena means that you won't eat the entire kikah. Shvur Shloi Echel kikah, that means you won't even eat part of it, and then the second Shvur could be chal. But now the Gemara focuses on the wording of that Mishnah. Zui, it's coming to say that here there's a chiv Malkus, Lemuti Mai, Lav Lemuti, isn't it coming to teach us that if somebody made a Shvur Chalti, a Loya Chalti, that he made a Shvur that he ate when he actually didn't, or vice versa, the loy loki, the opposite of what Rav Avuah said, loy. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. The Mishnah saying is, Zui, this is the case that if you violated this Shvuah b'Shogig, you chayev carbon oil of a yoyret. Avo achalti v'loy achalti, in the situation of achalti v'loy achalti, lemaisa carbon. There won't be a chiyev, even though b'mezid, there is a chiyev malchus, by Shogig, there won't be a chiyev carbon oil of a yoyret. Mani, because whose opinion does this reflect? It reflects Rabbi Shmuley, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Damar en achayev, the chiyev of carbon oil of yoyrid is only our osr lovoi regarding a shvuah about something I will do, but not regarding a shvuah that's something I did do. But that's only as far as carbon oil of yoyrid. Avam milka, when it comes to malchus there is even for a shvuah sheker of l'sh'ovar, when somebody made the shvuah that he ate when he didn't, or vice versa. Ask the Gemara, aim a sefer, then let's learn the next Mishnah. Zui Shvushov, the Mishnah said by Shvushov, Taloch is Chayav Malzadoyna Makis Vashigosse Potter. Zui, what does the Mishnah mean with the word Zui? Laugh, to teach us Achalti Vloyachalti. To teach us that the case of Achalti and Loyachalti, there is no Malkis. Says Mer Loy. That's not what the Mishnah means to say. Zui, it means that Shigosse. When the Mishnah is saying, by this Shvuah, there's a Chiyah part of the carbon, there's no Chiyah of carbon oil of a yard, Ava Chalti Veloya Chalti, Maisi carbon. You will be have a Chiyah of carbon oil of a yard, because Mani, because this reflects the opinion of Akiva, Dama Vin Karma Shalava. So, in other words, the Mishnah, the next Mishnah said that by Shvuah Shav, there's a Chiyah of Malkis, not a chiv carbon oil of a yoyrid. And now the Gemara is saying that that Mishnah is teaching us that by a shvuah sheker, there's always a chiv carbon oil of a yoyrid, even b'shagig. By shagig. Ask the Gemara, but we have a huge problem. We just defined that the previous Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that holds that by a shvuah sheker l'sha'avar, there is no carbon oil of a yoyrid b'shagig. And now we're saying that the very next Mishnah teaches us that there is a chiv carbon oil v'yoyrid by a shvuah shekel l'shavar. Says the Gemara, correct. Elma, the sefer of Akiva, if we've explained that the second Mishnah reflects the opinion of Akiva, we have to say that the Reisha, the first Mishnah, also reflects for Akiva. The Reisha, so now what does the Zui in that Mishnah come to teach us? Lav l'muti achalti v'lo achalti. It's not coming to teach us that in the case of achalti v'lo achalti, there is no chiv carbon oil v'yoyrid. But it's rather to teach us that Oichel, if somebody made a shvuah that he will eat something, and then Loyachel, as we learned a few moments ago, there will not be a chi of Malkus. Ask the Gemara, or Maishna. So the simple way of learning is, why do we prefer to say that the Mishnayos follow the opinion of Akiva over Rabbi Shmuel? Or another way of explaining, why do we say that the first Mishnah is speaking about a shvuah sheker about the future, and the second Mishnah is speaking about a shvuah sheker about the avar? Why do we explain the Mishnayos this way? Answer the Gemara. The first Mishnah speaks about l'haba. So since the first Mishnah speaks about somebody who makes a shvuah that he will not eat something, so therefore, since it's speaking about the future, we explain that it's come to mamat the future as well. That if somebody made a shvuah that he will eat and not eat, and then he ends up not eating, he doesn't get malchus. Because says the Gemara, if that Mishnah speaking about the lahaba doesn't make sense, that's mamat, that it comes to exclude a shvuah l'shavar. If the Mishnah speaking about future shvuahs, it makes sense that the miyat of the Mishnah is also about a future shvuah. The next example that we gave of a lav she'en b'maisa, which there is a chiv malchus, is Meimar. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Loi Tisnu Meimer. Meimer shouldn't be put in the list. Shouldn't the Dibura Oysa Maisa. Meimer is not considered a Lavsha Maisa because I accomplished something with the Meimer. What do we accomplish with the Tamura? That the animal becomes Kadosh. And that's considered a Lav Shesh by Maisa. And as the Chroinim explained, this Gemara really is speaking to a fundamental issue about Tamura. The fundamental issue of Tamura is, What is the Aveir of Tumura? Is the Aveir of Tumura trying to remove the Kedusha from the first animal? Or is the Aveir of Tumura trying to bring Kedusha to the second animal? And here we clearly see that the Aveir is bringing Kedusha to the second animal, which you weren't supposed to do, and that's considered a lav sheish b'maisa. Furthermore, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzam, in the Shaul Meishiv, says from here we can understand why the halacha is that once somebody does a tamura, why couldn't we just be shoyl? Isn't tamura a form of hegdish? That you could have a node and it'll take away the aveira. The answer is that our Gemara is teaching us that medaraisa, the moment you make the tamura, it's considered a full-fledged maisa, and therefore it can no longer be rectified because the Torah already gave it the kedusha, and therefore we, through trying to annul that hegdish, cannot accomplish anything.